John chapter 4 is, if you know anything about John chapter 4, you know that that's the evangelism chapter. And it's the story of Jesus and his chance encounter with this woman who came to the well. And it was obvious that Jesus knew all about her. He knew that her life was a sinful life. And even the disciples later wondered, why did you even have a conversation with her? Why would you have anything to do with her? She's an immoral person. She's a woman that has a bad reputation. Why would you even talk to her? Let's read here in John chapter 4 and verse 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, and why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, if any man brought him aught to eat, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And we'll stop reading right there. Actually, you can take some time and just go through all of this chapter 4 as it relates to the lost and what Jesus did. And he declared to the disciples that this lost person is my priority, more than my meat, more than my... They had gone to collect food and to bring food to Jesus, and he said, this is not the priority, because they're still stuck on lunch. They're still thinking about lunch. They're saying, Lord, you need to come and eat. That was their priority. They were thinking about the physical need. That's what was on their mind. And Jesus said, this is my meat. This is my lunch. This is what's more important to me. This woman who is lost is more important to me than even my food. And so you notice how this woman, what she does, her response to hearing from Jesus, she goes back to her village. She begins to tell. It's a spontaneous thing that happens. And really, evangelism is to be such that you touch somebody's life, and then they go and they touch somebody's life, and that it begins to domino effect. Everyone that they come in contact with, that's revival. That's growth. That's the blessing of the Lord upon a church. I've heard people say before, well, that's just a family church. All they have is they've just got family in the church. Well, that's the normal thing that often happens in churches, is one person in the family will get saved. They'll influence maybe their daughters or their sons or some other relatives, and they'll get saved. And then it just kind of, it goes through the family. And so then for a person to say, oh, that's just a family church. Well, it should be so that that we reach our families, and then the families are an influence on other families, and realize the potential if that one person comes to the Lord. And I remember, hearing Ruby Barrett talk about this. She was the first one. She came in. She served the Lord, however many years, 60 years ago. And then her family, her sons, her extended family, her children. And so that's why we got the Barrett clan in our church. Ruby was the, she was the one. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Especially whenever they are influencing others to come to the Lord. And it's true in most churches that we influence those around us. And we need to extend it even beyond immediate family and realize if we reach just that one person, that they have a great, potential to reach a lot of people for the Lord. Amen. You notice there is a must. John chapter 9 and verse 41. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus knew he had just a certain amount of time to get the job done. And so I think that we need to be reminded of the fact when Jesus said to those disciples, don't say 4 months, because what they were thinking is the normal amount of time from seed time to harvest was 4 months. They were thinking that's how the harvest is, and it comes later. But Jesus was saying, no, there's an urgency here. There's an urgency here, and look and see that the harvest is ready. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that has sent me while it is day, because the sun is going down and the darkness is coming and the opportunity is going to be gone. We don't know what we're dealing with as far as opportunity to preach the gospel in our country. We don't know what lies ahead in the months and the years that are ahead. We don't know if we'll still have the same opportunities next year or 2 years from now that we have right now to declare the word of the Lord. There is an antichrist spirit and an antagonism toward the gospel in our world, in our country right now. And so we don't know what is just ahead, but we do know that the Lord is coming. And he's coming very soon, and that should give us a must, an urgency. This is not just a promotional thing that we're doing, but this is an exercise in what we need to be doing all the time. Reaching our friends, reaching our loved ones, reaching our work associates and those that the Lord allows us to come in contact with all the time, week after week. Lord, give us a desire and help us to be motivated by the Spirit of God to see that the harvest is now. It's not later. I don't know anything about wheat or about barley, but from what I've read, that the grain it would be the plant would be green, and then it would turn a yellow with a yellow bloom, and then just before it would fall to the ground, it would turn white, and then right after it turned white, it would fall to the ground and it would be wasted and lost. So that's why Jesus said, It's ready right now. It's not green. It's not yellow. It's white and ready to be harvested right now. And he's talking about the urgency of declaring the gospel and reaching people for the Lord that we don't have all the time. And we need to move forward in reaching as many as we can for the Lord. Amen. Amen. We really do. So I pray that that what we have witnessed, what we have experienced in the children's department, that we'll experience in the youth department and the young adults and the Bible class, that we'll experience a growth of new people coming in because they have been welcomed by you and me. Amen. That we have gone to them and we have urged them and encouraged them, come go to church with me. Come and urge them toward the things of the Lord and witness to them about their need to be saved. Give them your testimony of what the Lord has done in your life to encourage them that God can change their life too. Amen. Don't say 4 months, but understand the urgency that right now is a time that we have that we may not have later. We all kind of get really good with excuses, don't we? We get real good at it. We think of all these excuses. I don't know anybody.
There's nobody I could ever talk to. I don't run into people like that. I don't know the unsaved. All my friends are saved. They all go to church. And we think of all of these excuses, but all the while, what really needs to happen is we need to have our eyes opened by the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need to have. And that's what Jesus said here to his disciples in this text. He said, don't say 4 months. Don't put it off. Don't offer excuses. But I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look. It just means look like you haven't looked before. Look in places that you haven't looked before. See potential. See people in their need. See the harvest field and see that they're ripe. They are ready to be harvested. Some people are ripe because they have gone through a crisis in their life. They're in trouble. Maybe it's marriage problems, divorce. Maybe it's financial problems or lost their job or going through trouble with their family or with their children or whatever that the crisis might be. It might be sickness or disease or whatever it might be. But they're in a crisis in their life. And they need you to step into that situation and point them to Jesus as the answer, amen, to whatever predicament that they are in. So may the Lord give us eyes. When Jesus said, look, he was saying, look and see potential. See people in their need and step forward. I was reading about this fellow who was traveling on a train across desert in Arizona. He was the only person in the entire car who had not pulled down his window shade to keep out the glare of the hot sun. And everybody else, all the other passengers, had pulled their window shades down to keep the sun out. So finally, one of the other passengers said, what are you looking at? He just kept staring out at the dry, barren desert. What are you looking at out there? And the man responded, and he said, well, I'm in the irrigation business. That's what I do for a living. And I was just looking out there thinking, what could happen to this place if we just come in here and run lines and provide the resources and the water? And he said, I was looking at that barren desert, and I was just thinking about the potential of this place if we could get in here and bring water. So what he was doing was he was looking at that dry, barren situation. He was looking through a different set of lenses, wasn't he? He was looking through the lenses of, I'm in the business of irrigation. I know how to get water to this place. I know how to do it. He saw the desperateness of that desert, and he didn't see it as something, you know, pull the shade. Well, nothing to look at, really, but just a dried up desert. But instead, he saw it from the perspective of someone that could do something about it. When we look at the world, when we look at the unsaved, we need to look, as Jesus said, look on the fields. Look upon the fields. See that they have potential. When you see the lost and you see the needy and see all of these that are, their lives are so messed up. Gone are the days where we have the perfect little family, the husband and the wife, and they have got a little boy and a little girl, and they're dressed impeccably, and they come in and say, we want to join your church. Those days are gone. Because out there in this world is a mess. It's a mess. Sin has just tore up families and tore up lives. And people are so bound and so under the influence of the things of this world. And we're still called to them. We're still to look to them. They're like that barren desert. We need to look. Like Jesus said, look on them, look on those fields and see that they're ripe, that they're ready to be harvested. That's right. Those that are messed up and some of them, you know, look kind of wild and crazy and, and extreme because they're so taken by the ways of this world. But yet, remember that we are, Jesus has told us that we need to look at them, and we need to look at them with potential. Amen. We need to look through those eyes, what God can do. Sure, we can see what the devil has done, but can we look at them through the lenses of what God can do in them? Turn their life around. I get this little newsletter every once in a while from the Teen Challenge Center in Cincinnati, and I got it today, and on the front page was this very nice looking young man, and he gave his testimony. Some of you may have got that, I don't know, but he was giving his testimony. He was so messed up on drugs, and everything was just, his life was just so tore up. But God began to work in his life and used that Teen Challenge Center to point them to Jesus Christ. I've been to that facility, and when I went through that facility, I noticed that they had the School of Christ, Brother Clendenin, on DVD, and they were making those guys work through the School of Christ at that place, Cincinnati Teen Challenge. And I just thought, wow, this is wonderful. This is wonderful, life-changing. This young man was giving his testimony. My life has turned around. He said, the first few weeks I came in, I was just trying to fake my way through this place just to survive and get by here. But he went to a church service one Sunday, and the Word of God went forth, and the gospel got a hold of his heart, and he repented of his sins, and he came to the Lord, and he's changed. His life has changed. He just graduated from college on the dean's list. And it sounds like, you know, one of these, you know, stories too good to be true, but it was the testimony of what God can do in the life of someone if their life is turned around for the glory of God. So we need to look at all people, no matter how messed up that they are, and to see that they are ripe, they are ready, and they potentially can be someone that comes to the Lord and their life turned around. And another thing that the Lord deals with in this story is the need for workers. The need for workers. Every one of us. Now, if you can't run a bus route or teach a Sunday school class, you can pray. You can give. You know, there's probably other things that you can do. You can give words of encouragement. You can support the work. You can get behind the effort. You can do what you can do for the glory of God. Amen. Be a worker. Be a worker. Amen. Whenever Jesus saw the need, let me read to you from Matthew 9 and 36. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. When I read that verse, I think of the masses of people that are out there. That their lives are just so messed up by sin. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. It's big. It's out there. If your concept is, I don't know any unsaved people, then you need to pray, Lord, help me to see. Open my eyes. Help me to see that all around me there are people that need the Lord. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. That's the great need, isn't it? Amen. As far as our local church here and the potential of our church in growing, we've got a lot of wonderful things that God has provided us with. For one thing, he's provided us with a great facility. We've got lots of room here. And all the rooms need to be filled with people, seekers, people. We need the sanctuary to be filled with seekers, people hungry for God. We've got a lot of wonderful potential, but we do need more workers. We really do. We need more workers. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Amen. There's a command of God concerning a prayer that we need to be praying all the time. Lord, send forth laborers. Send forth laborers. Send forth laborers. And look around you and see people that need the Lord. They need to know about the Lord. And see if there's any way that you might be the answer to your own prayer. The laborer. Somebody who can step in there and give a word of encouragement or bless someone's life. Help them and point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope that that you think of a friend day, a friend Sunday effort. Hope that you think of it in a different light, that you don't think of it as, well, this is just another one of his ways to try to make us do something that we don't really want to do. But we'll actually see people in their need. Amen. Praise God. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to be involved and be a part in the great harvest of souls. And Lord, help me to do my part. Help each man and woman here, everyone, every age group, every child, every young person. Lord, we know that the harvest is plenteous. It's big. It's great. The lost, oh Lord, they're out there by the hundreds and thousands of people, Lord, and they need you. They need you. Lord, put us in that place we need to be, willing, and open our eyes, Lord, to see, Lord, the barren desert as a field that's irrigated. Help us to see potential in hopeless situations. We pray in Jesus' name.